Good morning, Urban Mission. I am grateful to be sharing the word with y'all this morning. It's been a while since I've shared a word with y'all, and I want to just dive right in it. I know that we got some time, a little bit of time ahead of us. I got to make use of the hour and a half that I want. Just kidding. The Lord moves, that's a different story, but... Second, I want to give a shout out to my new favorite nephew, Lorenzo, who highlighted the fact that he said, Lionel, you look slim. You know, whenever you get that kind of compliment, you got to just bless him in the name of the Lord, you know. The way I've been eating and working out, I'm glad that he noticed. God is good all the time. I got the mic, so I got the right to be a fool. Let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be in your presence. We thank you for just your love and your grace. Lord, we thank you for the theme of your love and releasing and letting go of things and being immersed by your waves, Father, the theme that is kind of permeated through this service, Father. We ask that right now as we open up our ears to what it is you have to say, we just ask that you open our hearts as well, that it doesn't pass through one ear and out the other, but Lord, that it goes down into every fiber of our membrane. We thank you, Lord, and we honor you. And as for me, let me be a vessel. Lord, it is not me that is speaking, but let you speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to keep with this theme that we have going on here today of what we're celebrating, I should say. And we are celebrating our leaders, our pastoral leaders this morning. And I want to stick there. Once we kind of found out that we're going to coincide today with Pastor's Appreciation Day, I said, you know what? I really want to take the opportunity to speak to our people about our leaders. And the title of this sermon this morning, so that everybody can be clear where we're headed, it's called Sheep in Support of the Shepherd. Sheep in Support of the Shepherd. As we honor our pastors today, there's a reason why we're going down this path. I really wanted to take a really deep look at ourselves, Urban Mission, as a congregation. I know growing up for me, especially growing up in an island church, I always end up back here some way, somehow. But growing up in an island church, like the pastor was like the biggest, like the most important person in the church, right? I don't want to use the word celebrity because that's a dangerous word, but I will say this. They were seen as like the end all be all kind of thing. Not only did I go to I grew up in a Haitian church, and I went to an island church in Boston while I was in school. But also in Boston, I also attended a Hispanic church as well. And the amount of care and passion and concern that they had for their pastors was like really, really crazy. To me, it was almost like nuts because I was like, "What the heck is going on here? Like, y'all really, 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 really like this guy like a lot," and. We often put them on a pedestal, and there's nothing wrong with them being put on a pedestal, because I do believe that we should be looking to our pastors as examples of faith, of life, and walking this walk for the Lord. However, honestly, there are times where we've put emphasis on our pastoral leaders, on what they can do for us, as opposed to what we can do for them. I know the ins and outs of being in a pastoral family. My background story is I grew up a pastor's kid. Most of you guys know, but I grew up a pastor's kid in Spring Valley, New York, in my father's church. I was there for 18 years until I went to college. Then I came back in 2009. I was actually a youth pastor at his church from early 2010 to about mid-2014. For 4.5 years, I was a pastor at my dad's church. But not only that, I just saw everything that kind of went down. So I learned the ins and outs, the do's, the don'ts, the shoulda, the couldas, the wouldas, the hows, the this, the that, the blahs, the blah, la, la. And there was always this theme was always there. What can my pastor do for me? Why do I say that? When someone's injured in the hospital, what can my pastor hasn't visited me yet. When there's some sort of crisis or blah, 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 my pastor hasn't come by yet. Not only that, my pastor didn't say hi to me when I walked in the door this Sunday morning. No, I'm being legit. Pastor, do you have a problem with me? Because when we made eye contact, let me tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you a quick story. So I was at this place, and I was getting my car worked on. Now, without my glasses, I'm like, I'm legally blind without my glasses. Not literally, but so I'm sitting down, and there's this lady sitting across from me. I don't see her. I don't got my glasses on. The next Sunday, I'm going up to preach at my father's church. And she pulls me aside, and she goes, I need to ask you something. I said, what? She said, did you ignore me on purpose? I'm like, what you talking about? I ignore you on purpose? What are you talking about? You saw me at the auto mechanic shop. You didn't say hi to me. I said, sister, I didn't have my glasses on. But you're the pastor. You're supposed to say hi to me. And I said, I rebuke you in the... No, I'm just kidding. But that's the kind of expectations that most people put on their pastors. Let's just keep it a stack. Let's be honest. We don't often ask the question, what can we do for our pastors, for our leaders? So today we're going to walk through that. This microphone is going to give me an issue today. So if I got to grab a handhold, I will. How can we support our leaders as they follow the call that God has placed on their lives towards us? All right, we're going to walk through this. I strongly encourage you got a pen, you got a pencil, you got your cell phone, you got this, that, whatever. I know we're going to be recorded, but so that you can take this home with you, if you can, please write it down. I'm going to be running through this in a nice fashion, but I want to make sure that you guys are understanding. So I want to open my Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. I heard somebody say, yes, I know that was Jeremy. Yeah, scripture says all scripture is God-breathed, but we're not going to go down that route. Let's go through chapter 13, verse 17 and 18, all right? Actually, we're going to go through 19, I apologize. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for they would have no advantage to you. 18. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. I'm going to read a different version of that. Let me go break this down actually as we go through. The first point, you need to willingly submit yourself under the authority of your pastors and leaders. A different version says it like this. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy in their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? That translation is the Message translation. So that's all fancy willy-nilly, right? But how do we practically do that? I'm all about giving you practical ways to be able to manage this. I'm going to shut this one off, all right? I'm all about giving you practical ways in order to manage your spiritual lives. So, submitting to your leaders means we respect them as our leaders through our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. I'm going to take it back to me a little bit, right? So, and this comes from a place of adoration, but also, if you're going to be real, a place of probably tradition and religiosity. I have a hard time calling Dave, Dave. In fact, most of y'all know for the first year, I call him Pastor Dave. Because, like, first off, I shouldn't even be calling you Pastor Dave. I should be calling you Pastor Bernicki just out of respect. Right? And that doesn't come from a place of putting him on a pedestal. But because I wanted to give him the respect that I believe he deserved as my leader,
I always wanted to add that prefix of pastor before I did anything. Now I was able to migrate out of that because I can still see him and admire him and respect him as my pastor without throwing the prefix up, because we also know that there's a lot of pastors out there that ain't really fulfilling the role of pastor, but they got the title. But that's a different sermon for a different time. Here's the thing. If you're going to respect your pastor, you need to also be willing to respect the mantle that is on his life, the call that is on his life, or her life. I keep saying his, excuse me, on their life. Too often, we acknowledge what they do and not who they are in the Lord. Too often, we focus on their gifts and abilities, and when they fall short in that regard, they lose our respect, our admiration, and our love. I'm going to submit to you this morning that all your leaders that are sitting in the front, they deserve your respect, love, kindness in your thoughts and words and deeds, not because of what they do for you, but because of who they are in the Lord. Do you speak of your pastor with love and kindness and affection? Y'all get that? We all know that they ain't perfect. There were days where I used to walk into my father's church. This is my only example. And he was my dad at home. He was my pastor at church. And he did something at home that pissed me off. But I got to walk into that church and be like, Pastor Latouche. Pastor. You're not just my dad. You're my shepherd. You're my leader. You're leading me. We also submit to them when we're transparent with our lives. Ooh, this is a big one. People of God, we ain't willing to be transparent with our lives no more. The generation that we live in, it's about putting on a certain aspect or a certain facade. Social media puts on a facade, what we wear, what we drive, what we do, how we act, how we behave. We put on this facade so our pastors don't have to be in our lives. But you know what? Here's the deal. You are honoring your pastor when you're transparent about your walk with them. Because they have been called to lead you in the right direction. So hiding yourself from them makes their job more difficult. Be transparent about where you are in your walk so that they can guide you down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. But here's the thing. It is our responsibility to be transparent, not the pastor's responsibility to have to chase you down to find out what's going on in their life. Now, hear me out. Pastors have a responsibility to go after the flock. But it is your responsibility to show your true colors to the leaders. Y'all understand where I'm going with this? Just want to make sure you're with me. You also have to align yourself with the vision of the house. You see, the vision of your leader can be, if your vision of your leader can be tested against the word of God, you hear me? If the vision of your leaders for the house that they are leading can be tested against the word of God, it is then your biblical obligation to fall in line if you're going to be a member of that house. Y'all get what I'm saying? Let's use a different example. If I decide I'm going to play football and I believe in my coach's vision and I believe that my coach has the vision to take us all the way to the championship, it is not my coach's responsibility to get me to whip in shape and fall in line. Rather, I must willingly choose to fall in line with the vision that he has for me. Because if I go up against his vision and say, you know what, I see what you're doing, I don't necessarily agree with the end result. So I'm going to say, what? You are causing a dissension in this church. You are causing a dissension on your team. Understand how scripture says what about the enemy, about the devil? That he prowls around like a roaring, so he can see who he can devour. It also says that he is out there to kill, steal, and destroy. What? You know the first way that that happens? Confusion. Go back to Adam and Eve. How did the devil turn Adam and Eve against God? He went to Eve and said, God be tripping. You can eat that fruit. He don't know what he's talking about. Cause confusion in the mind. All of a sudden, confusion causes conflict within you. Well, the conflict is, you know, the devil done told me that I could do this and I could do that. And then all of a sudden, we get down to division and we get down to being conquered. It is your responsibility to align yourself with that vision to prevent the enemy from getting involved and causing dissension in the church. Y'all got me saying, can I get an amen in here? But understand this. You don't have to be what, this is going to be a slippery slope. Understand where I'm going. Listen first. You don't have to be 100% in agreement to be in alignment. You understand what I mean? Let's go back to that coaching example. Let's say the coach say that I'm going to be that, I don't know, let's say, no, I'm going to go on defense because I'm a defensive player. Let's say the coach puts me on defense and I'm playing what's called, just for example, man-to-man defense. Now, I consider myself a cover corner, which is a different kind of defense. If I align myself with the coach and the coach says, this is the defense that we're going to play, I can disagree with it, but it is my responsibility to say to myself, this is the lane that he asked me to play. And since I know that I am contributing to this vision, contributing to the mission, contributing to the cause, I'm going to learn how to play this. But if you disagree, here we go. We're all human beings. There are points where, and I think we've already discussed this, I have disagreed with Dave on certain aspects. I've disagreed with Ruth on certain aspects. How you manage that disagreement shows where your commitment is and the alignment to the vision of the church, to your leaders. If you go yapping your mouth and talking this and saying that, going to this member and that member, did you hear the way that she said that? Did you hear the way that he said that? Did you see, yo, I don't really like that. I don't like the way he said that. I don't like the way he did that to me. Instead of approaching your leaders, not only, I'm going to take it a step further, not only are you being disrespectful to the leaders, you are being disrespectful to the calling that God has placed on their life. And I'm a strict believer. Anyone who comes against the child of God with the act of dissension or division will meet his wrath. Because we are children of the living God. And they have a blessing and an unction set on their shoulders. It is our responsibility as people to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to protect that. I know this is a little heavy. It's a little tight, but we need to be making sure that we're doing what we need to do as people under their leadership. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders. In chapter 13, verse 18, what does Paul ask? What does he ask? What does he ask? Just pray. Excuse me, the writer may not be Paul. I apologize. Pray for your leaders. Pray. Pray for your leaders. There's a reason why we pray for our leaders. Going back to this mantle, it sits really heavy on their shoulders. And I can tell you this. When you got a call on your life, when God has put something on you, the enemy works twice as hard to make sure that he could disrupt that. Let's go back to that coaching thing. Let's go to the military. If I want to take out a brigade or a unit, who should I take out first? The who? Why is that? They give the directions. And if we take out the leader, what happens to that brigade or unit? Confusion. They are in disarray. I get to do half the work with the same amount of outcome. It would be extremely easy for the devil to come. More easy. Let me not say extremely easy. Easier. Let me fix my English. It would be easier for the enemy to walk around and take out member by member by member by member by member by member by member, right? But if he takes out one of our leaders, we saw an example of this the other day. I mean, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Not to speak against the man, but we know about Joel Osteen. He made a simple faux pas, a simple mistake, right? Simple. No matter what you feel about his ministry, we ain't gonna go there. That's another day for another time. He is in leadership of a congregation. by the slip up that he caused, by whatever happened or whatever were said, it caused confusion and doubt. And I'm almost sure, if I read reports, that people were deciding to leave that church. It's as simple as something like that. The enemy is looking to tear out your leaders. So it is our responsibility to go before the throne of grace and bring them and say, Lord, send a hedge of protection, extra angels on their behalf. Be there and strengthen their mind and being so that when they do come face to face with temptation, they will overcome. Your leaders have a great responsibility in preaching the word of God. Let's keep it a stack. Let's keep it 100. We know that there are false teachers and false prophets and false leaders that are teaching the scripture. Let me take that back. They are not teaching scripture. What they are saying is not aligned with the word of God. As an overseer, they have been given the responsibility from God himself to manage those people. Scripture says it actually. It says, listen, I have bought these people with my blood. Therefore, I give them to you and take watch over them. I'm paraphrasing it. But that's what Scripture says. Remember in Spider-Man? Remember Spider-Man? Y'all remember Spider-Man, right? Remember that famous scene? The Tobey Maguire franchise was whack. Let's just be honest. Whack. But Tobey Maguire, Uncle Ben says that famous line in the movie. What is that famous line? With great power comes great responsibility. As much as that sounds like it's a Marvel Stanley kind of thing, that's really biblical. To whom much is given, much is required, much will be expected. So if they've been given this load, they've been given this weight, they carry an extra responsibility to make sure that they are preaching and teaching and leading the people of God aligned with Scripture. It is our responsibility to make sure that we are praying for our leaders so that they can not only get clarity from the Logos, the Word of God, but get clarity from the Rhema, from the spoken Word of God. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Are y'all here with me? You know that you can intercede on behalf of your pastors. Third, the burden of ministry is heavy. I'm just going to be real with y'all. It's heavy. I don't know how Dave does it. I mean, up at 5 o'clock, homework till 11, doing this, doing that. Y'all know that, pardon me, y'all know that ministry is a full-time job. Oftentimes with no pay. Y'all get that, right? Some people get paid, but oftentimes you got to work another job just to make sure that you're caring for your family and caring for the ministry, because oftentimes it is the pastor's families that are carrying the financial burden of the church even sometimes. I'm just going to be honest with you. Keep it 100. And then they have to take care of themselves physically, take care of themselves emotionally, take care of the emotional, physical, mental, psychological, spiritual, sociological needs of the communities that they serve. I'm not going to go down these stats or statistics, but there's somewhere along the lines that's saying 40% of pastors feel, dissatisfied with the work. 85% say that what they thought ministry was going to be did not become. 33% of pastors, upwards of 33%, work a full-time job in addition to full-time pastoring. 45% say that pastoring has caused strain on their marriage and in their relationship with their family and kids. Many of them say that they're not as available as they want to be because they are tending to the need of the church. And each pastor has a unique burden that God has given them and placed on their heart. It's a burden that you can't understand. You could try. Well, let me say this. You may understand it, but you'll never feel it, because that's not what the Lord has given you. It is our responsibility to make sure that as they are carrying those burdens, that we are supporting them. Let's go back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. We got Moses and and Aaron. And Joshua is leading the people in Israel to a war. And we have Moses standing in front of the people. And what does he have to do? He's what? He has to lift up his arms. And as long as his arms are lifted and raised, what happens? They end up winning. But as soon as his arms start to drop, the people lose faith and lose hope. And what happens then? They start to lose. So Aaron and Ur come in and they hold up the arms of Moses. And the people are inspired by that and they are able to win. There are going to be times, there's going to be days where we are going to come in support of our pastors so that we can help hold up their arms to make sure that we win the war and win the battle. Y'all understand where I'm going with this? Lastly, honor your pastors. Honor your pastors. I'm going to take a book out of, out of the Love Languages. Y'all know me. I love this counseling, psychology, therapeutic world that I live in. And I live in it all the time. Probably not good. But do you know how much a word goes to your pastors? Scripture says what? That there is life and death in the power of the tongue. And that the tongue is like a mighty rudder. That it is able to speak blessings and also speak curses. Understand this. A positive word to your pastor. You know what, Pastor Ruth? When you brought that word last week, I was slain. You, when you hit that point, girl. John, thank you so much for just hitting me up later on this week. I know that you didn't have to. But when you just hit me up and said, hey, I've been thinking about you, or thank you, and this, this, and that, it really went a long way. Sue, man, girl, your hair be looking nice. But do you know how far that goes? When you comment on the work that they're doing in the ministry? There's also a biblical responsibility. I'm going to touch this slightly. We have a biblical responsibility to support our pastors financially, too. Being that it's a full-time job and they're working hard, if we are able, let's support them financially. And that may not mean that we're giving them check after check after check because we may not be able to do that. But maybe that means you find a way to send them on a vacation or a hotel stay or this, this, and that. Maybe that's too much. There's other ways that you can support your pastor. Do you know that a gift card to Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks goes a really long way? Or possibly a massage for your pastors. Listen, I know you've been doing this. I know that we got even some great cooks in here. As long as we know that people don't have dietary restrictions, bringing over a meal and saying, hey, I was thinking of you, and I just want you to have this in the name of the Lord. Ruth, just so you don't got to cook tonight, why don't you just take this rice and beans and just have at it? It sounds minuscule, but it does a lot to recharge the battery of the people that are serving you. Honoring your pastors doesn't mean that we need to buy them a Bentley or a G5 airplane, or we need to send them to Turks and Caicos. But what it does mean is that what we do with all of our heart and all of our might, knowing that we come behind them to support them and push them and encourage them in the ministry that they're doing. If there's anything that I want you guys to walk away with today, and I wanted to make sure that I keep it tight, we have three responsibilities as people. Submit ourselves to our leaders, pray for our leaders, and honor our leaders. If you can, maybe you've been honoring your leader, you think you've been honoring your leader, but you've been struggling with submitting. You've been struggling with aligning yourself with the vision of the house. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you've aligned yourself, but your prayer life is kind of struggling in praying for your pastors on a daily basis. Find a way to structureize and schedule your day so that even if it's a 2-minute prayer, you're bringing them before the Lord. Maybe you're doing all those things and God has blessed you with some sort of increase. Find a way to pour into your pastors and honor them that way. Maybe you got the gift of gab, or maybe you got the gift of being able to show people you love them through your words and through your actions. Let them know that you care for them. Because when we do that, not only are we honoring them and encouraging them and encouraging ourselves, but we are also completing our biblical obligation, and the Lord will surely not only bless them, but bless us for what we're doing towards them. So this morning, as we get ready to call it, we get ready to just pray. We're going to pray over our pastors. We're going to pray over them and thank the Lord for them. And we're going to pray over ourselves that we can begin to have an attitude shift towards how we treat those that are leading us. And if you know that you need an attitude shift today, bring that before the Lord. If you know that you can do more, bring that before the Lord. If you know that you want to do more, bring that before the Lord.